Award-winning author Timothy Egan's newest book, The Immortal Irishman, tells the story of Irish revolutionary Thomas Francis Marr and how he changed the course of history in Ireland, Australia, and the United States. Egan will be coming to the University of Wyoming campus in Laramie Tuesday, April 18th, to give a talk on his book. He spoke with Wyoming Public Radio's Caroline Ballard and says he first discovered Marr's story on a visit to Montana.
I found him when I was in Montana talking to then-Governor Brian Schweitzer of Montana. And they have this giant equestrian statue in front of the Montana Capitol. You can't miss it. And I said, who's the guy on the horse? And Governor said, you call yourself an Irishman. You don't know who Thomas Francis Marr is. And that sort of led me to this road of discovery, to this remarkable human being who changed people's lives on three continents.
Marr not only has an incredible story, but he also captures the coming of age and also the anxieties about immigration, nationalism, and identity surrounding two, even three nations, that's Ireland, Australia, and the U.S., at critical points in their histories. Was he unique in how he interacted with all of these nations at these critical points?
I mean, first of all, it's just astonishing to find someone who didn't even live to his 44th birthday, who left a huge legacy on three continents. I mean, there are three Australians. Remember, Australia was founded as a penal colony, but it ended up being a place where the British dumped more than 150,000 Irish, including most of the political prisoners. And Marr, while he was a prisoner there, writing under a different name, helped to get rid of the penal colony. There are three blacks in the United States because his Irish Brigade fought so valiantly on behalf of the Union for what ultimately freed the slaves. And there eventually would be a free Ireland in the 20th century when the Irish Republic was finally founded after 800 years of British subjugation, in part because his words were resurrected. So it's so unique to find someone at that relatively young age who affected so many things. Also, in terms of just the nationalism part of it, he was an Irish nationalist. You know, he wanted his people to be able to govern themselves, which is a basic desire of any people. But he became sort of a universal fighter of injustice. And that's what got him in trouble in Montana when he ran up against the vigilantes. He always was on the side of the underdog, I think as most Irish should be. And so he picked a lot of fights with the right kinds of enemies. And unfortunately, in the end, he probably paid for it with his life.
Marr did eventually come west and become the territorial governor of Montana. What did the West symbolize for Marr?
Yeah, it was really interesting because I found this detail and I sort of extrapolated on it. I don't think it got very much attention in the history books. For a while, they were thinking of Montana Territory, which did include Idaho for a while, as something called New Ireland. So the American ambassador to the government said, why don't we have one of our territories designated New Ireland? Now, it would still be an American territory, but they would try to move the Irish immigrant masses who were living, as I mentioned, in these horrible tenement slums, just stacked atop each other in the Lower East Side of New York and in Boston, Philadelphia, to the clean air and high country of the Rockies. And so Marshall took up on this idea. And what happened in Montana is they came up against the Know Nothing Party remnants. That was a group that was really anti-immigration, anti-Catholic, anti-Irish. And there were a lot of Freemasons, and they were vigilantes, and they were like the proper citizens. I mean, they were the bankers and the lawyers. And they were executing people without trial, and that's who Marr came up against. Those people did not like these Irish immigrants, these Catholics, these somewhat clannish people coming to the territory. So that's what he came up against in his last great battle of his life.
A lot of people are using ancestry DNA testing, and there's obviously a large portion of this country who have their roots in Ireland. Have you seen renewed interest in the history of Irish in America?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just got back from Pittsburgh where I gave a talk before 1,700 people at Carnegie Hall on this very topic. And it was typical afterward. I mean, hundreds of people came up and all they wanted to do was talk about their family roots, and they traced their ancestors to the great famine or coming over on one of the immigrant coffin ships. And it's very healthy and very good. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this book. I was trying to find my own identity, both Irish parents, and I'm pretty much 90% Irish, though I haven't done ancestry or 23andMe. But Yeah, there's a huge surge, you know, reawakening of interest in people just wanting to know their story and where they're from and how they got here. And the Irish story was the first of what were many, many repetitive immigrant cycles. Germans, Eastern European Jews, Southern Italians, Poles, Russians, Asians, now largely Mexicans and Latinos from south of the border. It's just the American story repeating itself.
Author Timothy Egan is coming to Laramie April 18th to speak in the University of Wyoming Union Ballroom. It's free and open to the public. Thank you so much for making the time today.
Thanks for having me.